The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 19. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasa Hikari. Recorded on October 17th, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tada Raja Tama Bhava Kama Lobha Adiya Cha Ye Cheta Etai Anavidham Stitam Stattve Prasidati Tadarajastamo Bhava Kamalobha Dayashchaye Chaita Etairana Vidhang Stittam Sattve Prasidati Tadarajastamo Bhava Kamalobha Dayashchaye Chaita Etairana Vidhang Sittam Sattve Prasidati Tada At that time Raja In the mode of passion Tama The mode of ignorance Bhava The situation Kama Lust and desire Lobha Hankering, Adaya, others, Cha, and Ye, whatever they are, Cheta, the mind, Etai, by these, Anavidham, without being affected, Stitam, being fixed, Sattve, in the mode of goodness, Prasidati, thus becomes fully satisfied. Translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart, then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Purport. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma-Bhuta, Bhagavatam 4:30-20, or Atmananda, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material mode of existence, material stage of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or Shuddha sattva. Only in this Shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however great they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. So this is a very important verse to help us understand how to awaken our Krishna consciousness. A very important point here, Prabhupada says, a harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. So just dressing as a devotee is not enough. Putting tilak on the nose, kantimala on the neck, doesn't make me a devotee automatically. I have to cultivate the qualities of a devotee. I have to become free from passion and ignorance, and even from goodness ultimately. I get free from goodness also. So how does one do that? How does one get free of all this contamination of the heart? It's not difficult. You simply have to situate yourself on the transcendental platform by engaging in devotional service. By doing that, this contamination then is washed away. Even though we've accumulated this dirt for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of lifetimes, we've been accumulating dirt here, trying to lord it over that which is the property of somebody else, namely Krishna himself. Even though we've accumulated so much dirt, by this process of chanting, hearing, engaging in devotional service, nava vidha bhakti, any one of these nine activities, especially hearing and chanting, these activities free us from so much contamination and bring us back to our original state of consciousness. I really like this first sentence of the purport of Prabhupada. He says, a living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. So if you're totally blissed out, then you're normal. If you're not in complete total ecstasy, you're in an abnormal state of consciousness. You're sick. Someone says, how are you doing? You say, fine, but you have so many anxieties of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So not really fine. Actually, when devotees ask me how I'm doing, today a godbrother asked me, how are you doing? I always refer back to Prabhupada's instruction. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So I tell the devotee, well, I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. You see? If I'm actually perfectly fine, then I can see Krishna at every minute in front of me. You see? So that's the perfection, you see. We can get free of all the influence of the lower modes, get free of the upper mode of goodness even, you see. Become completely sold out to Krishna and Guru. This is a sublime state of consciousness. It's a natural state, so it's not really that difficult to achieve it. We manufacture the difficulties by our mental concoctions. But actually it's not that difficult. You just have to get being back to your original normal self. That's all you really have to do. Kick out all the conditioning, you see, the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy. Kick it out. There's that nice prayer given by Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita purport by Jamunacharya Albandru. He was formerly a king enjoying so many lusty affairs with a harem, you see. But now he's become completely renounced from his material sense gratification. So sometimes those thoughts may attack him, his remembrances of previous sinful activities. So he has a very nice prayer. Yadavari mamma chitta krishna padara dinde nava nava rasadhanun yattarantu mahasit tadavati bhattanari sangame smaryamane avati mukushnishti vanamcha. Ever since I've engaged in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna, relishing what? Nava Nava Rasa, ever increasing sweetness in that devotional service. Whenever the thought of sex pleasure enters my brain, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So we have to learn how to spit. When lusty thoughts or greedy thoughts or angry thoughts or lazy thoughts or all this contamination comes up from our previous sinful activities, we have to spit, at least not physically, but within our heart we have to spit it from. Because actually if we try to enjoy our memories of previous sinful activities, we're just creating another body, another material body for ourselves. We have to get free of all this dirt of previous sinful activities and simply desire devotional service. Nothing to desire except devotional service. May I always serve Krishna. May I always serve my spiritual master perfectly with my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances for all of eternity. This is the meditation we have to have. This is the determination we have to have. By having this determination, this enthusiasm for pure bhakti, which is the only happiness, you see, why go after sense gratification, even contemplating it, when it's simply a source of anxiety and misery? You see, where does dirty thoughts get you? They get you into misery, that's all. So we have to not only take bath externally, we have to take bath internally as well. By following the regulated principles, by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, at least 16 times daily. So this is the most important bath, the Hare Krishna mantra bath. Other bath is also important, but not as important as this bath. Sometimes we cannot take bath, like we're on the airplane flying, you know, an international flight. You can't take a bath, there's no shower. There's no bathtub, no shower on the airplane. Of course, in some planes they have. If you go first class, they have actually a shower. But that's a very expensive ticket, beyond my means, or your means. So, we have to then, we just take our mental bath. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. When we have facility, we take our bath. And the, Brahmins take at least twice a day. Actually, Brahmin means three times bathing every day, at least twice a day. As far as possible, we should take bath. So, this is the process of Krishna consciousness. Take it seriously. Some people say, well, struggle is suffering. And celebration is ecstasy. So I don't want to struggle. Just kind of want to kick back and take it easy. I don't want to really struggle, because if I struggle, that will not be ecstatic. But actually, the more you embrace struggle, the more you become ecstatic. I remember my dear godbrother, Sridhar Swami, who is now departed. He gave a wonderful remembrance when he got initiated in Los Angeles. Prabhupada said, so you're a brahmachari? And he was just down offering obeisances, just like Nama Om, and somebody tapped him, Prabhupada's talking to you, Prabhupada's talking to you. And he got up, Prabhupada said, so you're a brahmachari? So he was thinking, Prabhupada has blessed me to remain brahmachari. So he did, he remained brahmachari, staunch brahmachari, became a sannyasi. But then he said, but here I am still struggling. And he's known as the Jali Swami. If you ever saw Sridhar Swami, he's famous, the Jali Swami. I was at the Ratha Yatra in New York, and he grabbed me and spun me around. I mean, he's really the jolliest mommy, but he was still struggling to conquer lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and he honestly admitted, here I am still struggling. So to be struggling is not a bad thing. If you don't struggle to become Krishna conscious, Maya will have you in her clutches. We have to make that struggle. You see. I just saw a t-shirt and we were coming out, one man, it said, fortune favors the brave. And then, did you all see that t-shirt? His t-shirt said, fortune favors the brave. So we have to be heroic, we have to be brave, we have to make... A hero is somebody who struggles to achieve something, you see. The lazy people, they're not heroes, they don't struggle to achieve anything. They just kind of go with the flow, you know. But those who are actually, who struggle, who endeavor to achieve something, to awaken pure love of God and to spread pure Krishna consciousness all over the world, you see. Those who struggle, those are called the brave people, you see. They don't just go with the flow of the material nature. They step out of the material nature. They try to be something different from the general population. Those are the brave people, you see, stick out their neck to be different in a society of materialists. So the fact is that Krishna does favor those who struggle intensely to awaken their Krishna consciousness and who struggle to spread Krishna consciousness. So the more we can do that, the more we can struggle to awaken our Krishna consciousness and struggle how to make the world Krishna conscious, we'll be blessed with all good fortune by Krishna. You see, all good fortune will come to those who struggle to awaken Krishna consciousness of themselves and of the sleeping souls of this material world. So I can ask now if there's any questions. So, what should we do? Run the microphone over? Very nice questions from Guru Mata. Why do we have to struggle when Krishna consciousness is our natural constitutional position? Well, it's like the fish is naturally in the water, you see. When he's in the water, he doesn't have to struggle. But if he's on the beach, he has to struggle to get back into the water. If he has enough intelligence, of course they generally don't. Usually the only way to get back is the tide comes in, or some kind soul picks them up and throws them back in. If the fish has enough intelligence to realize, I need to be back in the water, he can flap on the beach and flap his way back into the water. That's a struggle, you see. Once you're back in your natural position, there is no struggle. But we should embrace the struggle, you see. We should embrace the struggle. I must conquer my mind. I must conquer my senses. I must become Goswami, a master of my senses, not just a slave of my senses. There's a struggle in the beginning. But once you become accustomed to regulating your senses, regulating your mind, once you develop the habit of doing that, it becomes natural and it's no longer a struggle. But in the beginning it is a struggle. That's called sadhana bhakti. There's prema bhakti and sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is a struggle up to the anartanavritti stage. Once you get to the, it's like you're going from, just like we go to Mendoza, you see. You go from Santiago to Mendoza. Now if you're riding a bicycle, it would be very difficult. Because it's crossing over the Andes Mountains, you see. Big Andes Mountains in the middle. So just imagine you're riding your bicycle, struggle, 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 up to, finally you get to the very top. Oh, it's such a struggle. And then now you can just coast down. From the top down, you just coast into Mendoza. Shh. Mile after mile after mile, coasting down to Mendoza, you see. So actually get it, there's sadhusanga, you see, there's shraddha, sadhusanga, bhajana kriya, anartanavritti. We're struggling, you see. I don't want to get up in the morning, but I get up because now I have to, you see. I don't want to fast on Ekadasi, but from grains, but I do. I have to. I don't want to always bow down to my spiritual master, but I do because I know I'm supposed to. So in the beginning, we don't feel inclined always to do devotional activities. I don't feel like chanting 16 rounds every day, but I do it because I know I'm supposed to. I made a vow to do it. So in the beginning, we have to struggle to stay fixed in our initiation vows. But then once those anarthas are 75% removed at the anartha nirvritti stage, you got your momentum going now, you see. Then it becomes very much easier. The struggle is over. It becomes practically automatic now to go to the next stages. Anartha nirvritti is there, and then you go to the next stage, Ruchi stage, you see. Then you go to the Asakti stage. Then you go to Bhava and Prema. It's the natural unfolding once you get past anartha nirvritti. Any other questions?
Is there any point when material desire doesn't come to our heart?
After anartha nirvritti, they're almost gone. Even the light of goodness, they're almost gone. You become fully fixed in goodness. There's that sloka when they become destroyed, almost to nil. When they're completely gone, that's the asakti stage. There's not even a tinge of any material desires left to the asakti stage. And then from there, you enter into the emotions of your eternal relationship with Krishna. That's the bhava stage. And then when those, that becomes fully manifest, you're actually fully situated now in your sarupa once again. That's the famous stage. So sakti is completely gone. And between anartha and nirvritti and sakti, they're there, but they're just, you know, just a little taste, little slight touch, and they're going away naturally. Next. Anyone else?
Srila Gurudev, when we do our devotional services, we are usually in this anxiety of getting up for Mangalarti, for finishing the service properly. So this is basically, I feel, we're getting into mode of passion. So how do we overcome this, and why does this happen? We have anxieties in services.
Anxiety is very good. That's called transcendental anxiety. That the anxiety you want to do your service very nicely is not the mode of passion. That's spiritual anxiety. Actually, you're not in anxiety about doing your service nicely, you're in the mode of ignorance. You should be in anxiety. How can I make this perfect for Krishna? You see? Just like an artist, he just wants to make everything perfect. He's doing a painting. He's very concerned. Everything has to be perfect, you see. So actually that anxiety is very good. It's called, if you embrace the mood of transcendental anxiety, material anxiety will never touch you again. So you should be more and more in anxiety, how to awaken the Krishna consciousness in my own heart, and how to awaken the Krishna consciousness of the fallen souls of this world. That is very good anxiety.
Srila Gurudev, but if we have some disturbances or we are not able to keep time, then the anarthas come up, like we become angry, we start shouting, something, some disturbance comes in the way of service, so it's like, so how do we deal with it?
The first quality of a Brahman is shama, sameness. He sees honor and dishonor, happiness and distress, heat and cold, pain and pleasure. He sees it all as the same. You have to see everything that happens to you is Krishna's mercy. One bhaktan wrote me a letter. She says, I don't think women should be chastised. Only men should be chastised. A devotee is actually, Prabhupada says, the student who is more chastised, he's advanced. So every devotee should be very happy when they're corrected. You see, if I'm doing something wrong, somebody points it out to me, I should be happy. I shouldn't become disturbed. Isn't it? Isn't it a fact? Enviation is a fact. If somebody corrects me for doing something wrong, isn't it a great blessing? I don't know if you understood. So, The point is, you have to be equipoised. See, everything is the mercy of Krishna. Because actually, you have to understand what's going on behind the scenes. Krishna is your eternal, your ever well-wisher, your very best friend. You are one of his intimate associates from his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world, either in his original form or an expanded form. So Krishna wants you back right now, as soon as possible. He misses you like anything. You're his beloved child. He wants you back as soon as possible. Everything that's happening to you is being orchestrated by Krishna to bring you back in as soon as possible. Whether you're being praised or you're chastised or ignored, it's all Krishna's special arrangement just for you. Krishna is so amazing, he's doing a customized program for every single jiva. It's not just like some group thing, but he's actually doing a customized program, and the whole existence is going on, this whole material existence is going on in such a way just for you by Krishna's arrangement to bring you back to him as soon as possible. So you have to appreciate that. It takes time because our false egos are there. They flare up. What do you mean correcting me? Don't correct me. What do you mean I did something wrong? I don't have the right attitude. Our false ego wants to flare up. We should become humble. We should not only lower than the straw in the street, we should think we're lower than the dog stool in the street. But we're lower than the stool of the worm in the dog stool in the street. That's the kind of humility we have to cultivate. That someone say, well, I can't be enlivened if I feel too fallen, too low. I have to think I'm great to feel enthused. So he was wondering about it. I explained, no. The more you become humble, the more your greatness, true greatness, is actually manifested. You see? The more you become proud, you may have some pseudo-greatness, but it's a sham, it's a fake, and it will not satisfy you. The more you become very, 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 very humble, that's how your true great qualities naturally come out. Om Papa told me in a letter, all material desire is zero. No karma, no jnana, all material desire is zero. So when you actually do that, that's when you become, the true greatness of you actually becomes manifest. So you have to be equipoised. There's verse after verse after verse in the Gita. Krishna is telling us to be equal in happiness, distress, honor, and dishonor. So we have to practice it. If I don't even practice the basic teachings of Gita, how can I realize Krishna? You understand? We have to be fixed in Shastric vision. We have to see everything through scripture. If you chastise me, I should think, well, I deserve much worse, but you've been very kindly, only give me a slight chastisement. Actually, I'm simply Asuram Bhav, I'm a lowest demon. You just give me a mild correction. I deserve much worse. So in this way, you have to cultivate peaceful mind, you see. Develop that peaceful mind, always peaceful. Even if you're debating with an atheist, Prabhupada said, with a cool head. So always keep a cool head. Prabhupada said we should keep in a cool place on the forehead, keep in a cool place. So keep cool. That was a popular saying back in the 60s. Cool, cool man, cool, keep cool. So that's a very important thing. You have to keep a cool head. Don't be a hothead. Keep a cool head. Even if you're being scolded and chastised, keep cool. Jai. Thank you very much. Next. Time is up, G. 10 o'clock. Okay, we'll stop here then. Okay, so we thank you all very much for tuning in to the Srimad Bhagavatam, for tuning into Krishna Consciousness. Please take this process very, very seriously. This is the only thing that can save you from the repetition of birth and death. The only thing that can save you from a life of misery, birth after birth after birth. So take this very seriously. I must now become the pure devotee of Krishna, get out of this cycle of birth and death ASAP as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.